It's always assumed that a life in Hollywood is one of ease, comfort, and fun. My next guest with her new book shares some of the stories of her life, which helps you gain, I think, a lot more realistic look at what fame is all about. The great part is that while too many crash and burn, as we see these days with the teen star train wreck du jour, she is, by all counts, a survivor. Her TV resume includes great shows like, you might remember, Northern Exposure, her upcoming films, one of among the many that she's done already, Solace, Occupy Texas, look forward to those. She hosts a radio show. With all that going on, she also found time to be a mom and write books, like just being a little bit vulnerable on Hollywood, God, sobriety, and politics. We say good morning to Janine Turner. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning.
Website, the obvious location, JanineTurner.com, and you can find out more about everything she has done, what she is up to, and what she is getting involved with. I'm judging, having read your book, that the title, A Little Bit Vulnerable, not just describes your life, but in a lot of ways, given what you reveal in your book, what writing a book like this makes you feel. Am I in the ballpark with that?
Yes, actually, that's perfect. When I came up with the title, actually, it was my daughter's idea, because when I finished the book, I said, you know, I feel a little bit vulnerable. And my daughter said, I think that's the title of your book. So I've thought about it in relation to the title and what the book represents. But I like what you just said of being vulnerable in life. That's really true, too. And, you know, I compiled the book. It spans my, you know, it's a memoir of sorts, but it's written in different genres of writing. And, you know, I decided to go ahead and you know, I get on my knees every morning and say, okay, well, God, what do you want me to do? And try to live your will. And I thought, well, if I can share some of the things I have learned in my 51 years of life, and if it is, you know, if an inspiration to anybody, then maybe helps one person in some sort of way, then it was worth it. So I'm vulnerable in the respect that I talk about my, you know, breakup with my engagement with Alec Baldwin, my you know, depression, the early years of getting sober, and then I have a chapter later where I talk about seeking sobriety, but the death of my father who died while I was compiling the book. I have a letter to him. But I'm also vulnerable politically because I'm a conservative in Hollywood. So if you put all that together.
Yeah. I was going to mention that. A conservative in Hollywood. Boy, are you lonely.
Yes. Well, that's true. You know, there are more and more of us, but unfortunately they're still afraid to speak out because when I was on the set of Friday Night Lights, one of my co-stars, who I'll keep him anonymous because obviously it's what he wanted, he stepped out of the trailer and he whispered in my ear, I'm with you, because I was campaigning for McCain Palin at the time.
Right.
I'm with you, but don't tell. So people are still afraid to speak out. But more, you know, I thought, well, I'll just be vulnerable and do it.
You mentioned about depression. Certainly that was a topic of discussion, too, with the recent death of Robin Williams and your alcoholism and recovery. Explain, is recovery an absolute, or is recovery reaching back to get as much as you can of what you had lost?
Interesting question. That's a really good question. Well, you know, sobriety, I got sober when I was 23 years old, and I have 28 years now, and it's absolute in the respect that, you know, if you have the disease of alcoholism, which I believe to be hereditary and it's a disease, and then there's no, you can't just have one drink. I mean, it's absolutely a no, you cannot pick up a drink. So it's a one day at a time sort of situation. And on the flip side, it's also something that you can't ever drop the ball. I mean, you have to watch it all the time, and you have to. And what I've realized with 28 years of sobriety, and I have a chapter on my early sobriety chronicles. The first chapter in the book chronicles my early sobriety through this kind of a journal. It's really a journal that I'm sharing with everybody, written in the form of poetry, because it was my coping skill just when I was devastated through, and I walked through all kinds of different devastations, but and the sort of the realization, when you talk about looking back on your life, it was all those things happen when you get sober, but there's an amazing sense of, you know, a lot of people walk into 12-step programs and they say, I thought this was going to be the worst thing to ever happen to me, admitting I'm an alcoholic, but it turned out to be the best thing to ever happen to me. And that's because of the coping skills, the beautiful seeking God, putting God first, turning my will over to God, simple things like halt, don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, not holding resentments, apologizing immediately when you're wrong. I mean, it's really a wonderful way to live.
I had remarked to someone one time, and until we admit that we're fragile, we're never going to be able to help ourselves get stronger if we go into crash the wall or something.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I find that the more humble I become, the stronger I become. Mm-hmm.
Talking with Janine Turner, her new book, A Little Bit Vulnerable, on Hollywood, God, Sobriety, and Politics, JanineTurner.com on the web. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Of course, politics being part of the title. We are told by those on the left, they love all, they care about all, they welcome all. Now, you came from the Hollywood set, obviously, social set as well as professional set. What happened if you showed up with an opposing viewpoint in that society?
Well, it's risky, and that's why so many people don't want to speak out, because it is risky. And one thing I learned, you know, I kind of like that the majority of my life has been in Hollywood, but I was raised by my father. He was a West Pointer and flew twice the speed of sound in the 1960s in the Air Force. So I sort of patriotism was in the air in our house, the way Ronald Reagan talked about, you know, patriotism used to be in the air in America. It's not so much anymore.
Right.
I find that what I stumbled across in Hollywood was this lack of tolerance for anybody's ideas that were different than theirs, being liberal, of course. And I talk about this a lot in my book, about the fact that, you know, what I walked away with is, you know, with a keen ear for hypocrisy and for bias. And I think both parties sometimes do that. And we flail those type of things back and forth to each other. But also that we need to learn how to reason. You know, when I was shut down in conversation, I'm like, well, that's not freedom of speech, first of all. And also that we need to be able to reason. We need to be able to have a national conversation, a conversation among our friends, and a conversation in our schools where kids can hear both the liberal point of view and the conservative point of view, so our kids can make their own decisions. We're not a communist society where we need to force propaganda into the curriculum and into the air there. I think that we really need to give our children the ability to think for themselves. And so that's why I've launched my foundation, Constituting America, and why I talk about this at great length in our book. My book, I have a chapter on the Federalist Papers, which is it's talking about the relevancy of our Constitution. And I also carry the theme through about how we can make a difference, both about getting God back in our schools in a diverse sort of way, and taking on making sure we keep our Congress and a Truth Act to keep our bills from 2,700 pages to get them back to the 30 pages was what they should be and used to be. So
yep.
I have a lot of ideas about how to hopefully keep our republic. And it's all really just about educating our kids too.
Now, speaking of that, we actually have, there's, you know, the obligatory attempt by atheists to have the Pledge of Allegiance banned from schools because of that dreaded phrase, one nation under God. There's actually here in New Jersey a high school student who is countersuing to keep the Pledge of Allegiance in her school.
So, great. We need more of that. I mean, conservatives are naturally conservative, and they think, well, I'm just not going to step up. Whereas liberals, we all know, can be very, very outspoken. And it's crucial. It's absolutely crucial that we step forward and do things like that. So I'm glad, because, you know, and I was actually talking about this morning, you know, we in our country, we don't have an we cannot establish a religion, but we can also not prohibit the exercise of religion, freedom of religion. So it's very imperative that we step up and say, wait a minute, you know, we're not going to be, as like, I really think God believe should be back in the schools. And my idea is that you have my daughter has a 20-minute advisory at her school where they go meet with her homeroom teacher. I thought, well, that's a great opportunity to go to four different rooms, you know, many different rooms. If the child is of the Christian faith or you know, a Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, whatever they are, they can go to that room, talk to a teacher who will educate them in that, and have a little spiritual reflection. If they don't want to go, they don't have to go. They can stay back. They can go to recess. They can do whatever they want to do. That's what our freedom of religion clause in the First Amendment is meant. That's what it's supposed to be all about. And I think that's a way to get God back into the schools.
And, of course, the separation of church and state was not to keep the church out of the state. It's to keep the state out of the church. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge that fact either.
Or that it was based on the Supreme Court made those decisions based on a letter written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist. And since when do we make Supreme Court decisions based on letters? I mean, if we were going to do that, you know, do we want people making a Supreme Court decision based off President Bush's letter or President Obama's letter? That's not the way our Congress is, you know, our legislative, our judicial branch, and none of the branches are supposed to work that way. We're supposed to base it off the Constitution.
Last question. What was the more fun part of putting together your latest book? Was it the writing of the words or sitting down and deciding which of the apparently tons of photos that you had that you wanted to include in the book?
That's a good question. Well, I had about 450 pages originally of writings that I'd done, so I had to edit it down to about 200 some odd pages. So that was, and I loved the intros that I do for every book because I tell a little bit about my life and introduce the chapter and that phase of my life. And I really realized what an impact my family has had on me, that I am a product of my ancestry. And I think one of the greatest joys for me with this book, well, hopefully it'll maybe help someone in some sort of way, but also that I could honor my family on both sides, my mother, my father, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, and the lessons that I've learned from them. And I really realized that, everything that I am, good, bad, and ugly, but I treasure my family, and I was really thrilled to be able to honor them and to put all those photos in there. You're right, I have a lot of never-before-seen photos of family and even behind the scenes on sets, and that was a lot of fun to do.
There are books, as you are listening, that you well know that the preach and the teach and the attempt to instill with you life lessons. I think what Janine has accomplished successfully with A Little Bit Vulnerable in Hollywood God, Sobriety, and Politics is to help you reach for your life lessons and have some fun doing it. And that's one of my favorite quotes of all times. Dean Martin, in an interview back in 1983, said, "You got to have fun. If you're not having fun, you might as well lay down and let them throw dirt on you." So if you can learn, be inspired, and have some fun doing it, Janine Turner's book, A Little Bit Vulnerable on Hollywood God, Sobriety, and Politics, certainly is going to instill some direction in you, inspiration in you, and some knowledge and awareness of our foundation, of your faith, and other great things that you'll want to share and instill in people around you as well. JanineTurner.com on the web. Get the book, add it to the mandatory reading list. And Janine, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Oh, thank you. Great. It was a pleasure. I appreciate it.